Good morning, and we greet you this morning in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this Lord's Day. We are thankful to be able to be in God's house once again on the Lord's Day. The first day of the week, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Well, I'm thankful that we had the opportunity to celebrate Christmas Day this past week. It's been a different Christmas with all of the sickness and the virus that's still going around, and many of us were not able to be with all of our families at one time. But we know that things will get better, and God is in control. God is on His throne, and God is with us. Emmanuel is with us. That's what the prophet Isaiah said, that he would be called Emmanuel. That means God is with us. So as we come this morning, we take that knowledge as we face a new year, knowing that God is with us, and that's all we need to know, isn't it? That's all we need to know. We're going to turn in Matthew chapter 2 to the account of the wise men coming to seek the young child Jesus from the east. The wise men came from the far east to worship the Christ child. And we say that wise men still seek Him today. That's what the subject on my heart today is, that wise men, women, boys, and girls still seek Jesus today, because He is the fountain of wisdom. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, we often sing and think about we three kings from Orient are. Now, the Bible never says that there were only three wise men. It simply says that they brought three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Most likely, there was a whole group of wise men who came with a great entourage of servants with them. Now, where exactly did the wise men come from? It only says they came from the east. Most Bible scholars believe it was from the Euphrates River Valley, from the land of ancient Persia. Or it could have been from the land of Babylon, where Ezekiel and Daniel the prophets, and where the children of Judah were captives for 70 years in the Old Testament. And they took the law of God with them to that far eastern land when they were brought into Babylonian captivity. And so probably those wise men knew about the Hebrew scriptures because Israel had taken them with them when they went into captivity. Now, there were wise men spoken of a lot in the book of Daniel in the Old Testament that came and gave counsel to the king in the book of Daniel. But we find that they were philosophers. They were probably priests rather than actual kings. But regardless of that, they knew that the Messiah was born because they saw a miraculous light in the sky. And I believe that it was God Himself, the light of God Himself, who led the wise men to the baby Jesus. Now, here is one misconception. The wise men came a little bit later than the shepherds. See, the shepherds came on the night that Jesus was born, but the wise men came later. as much as 2 years later. Some scholars say that the star appeared to the wise men 2 years before Jesus was born, and when they arrived, he was probably 6 or 7 weeks old. I don't know if that's the case or not, but it could have been that they started their journey when he was born. In that case, Jesus would have been going on 2 years old when they got to Jerusalem and went to Bethlehem. But he was not in the manger. That's the point. He was a young child living in a temporary house. And I want to read Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let us pray. Our kind Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. We thank You, Lord, that when Jesus was born, that He came not just to be the Savior of the children of the Jews, but of we Gentiles as well, signifying the Magi, the wise men from the East. They were Gentiles, and they believed in You, dear Lord. And today we believe in You by faith through the operation of the Spirit of Jesus in our heart. Now, O God, be with all of those that are sick, those that have lost loved ones in recent days. Bless our nation, our nation's leaders, our military personnel, and we'll give You the praise forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Magi had clearly studied the Hebrew Scriptures and knew that the Messiah that was promised to the Hebrews was coming. But not only did they had they studied the Hebrew Scriptures, evidently, but God Himself clearly had revealed Himself to them. Otherwise, how could they have known to follow the star? And that's the way it is today. God Himself, in the person and in the work of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, He reveals Jesus to you and to me today. And the star that shone brightly in the east that guided those wise men to Jesus is the same light that abides in our heart today. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that believeth in Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And that's John chapter 8 and verse 12. But let's back up in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2 and 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, this was Herod the Great, and he was a very cruel and ruthless leader who had even his own mothers and brothers executed. He was a very bloody, ruthless king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, and this was the only question they asked, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now some Bible commentators say that the wise men only saw Jesus as a secular king who would be a secular earthly ruler. Now granted, most of the Jews, a lot of the Jews of Jesus' day, had that idea that their Messiah would come as an earthly king, that he would overthrow the Roman Empire, and that he would literally rule on the throne in Jerusalem, and Israel would be restored to her former national glory as a natural nation. Now, whether the wise men only saw Jesus in that light or not, we can't be for certain, but I believe they saw him as a spiritual king. Why? Because they came to worship him. I believe they recognized the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you why a little later. I believe they recognized his deity. Who is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Did you know that the coming of the wise men was prophesied in the Old Testament? We don't often think about it, but they were in the book of Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 3. In the book of Isaiah, the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 60, the coming of the wise men was prophesied. The first three verses of Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Jesus is this light, you see. And the glory of the Lord is arisen upon thee. Jesus is coming. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory, his glory, shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Kings would come to the brightness of the rising of Jesus Christ. That is without a doubt a prophecy of the wise men who came from the east. And they saw the light in the sky, which I believe was God himself. Now we find that Herod the king, when he heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem was troubled with him. See, Herod believed that this would be a threat to his kingship. So he was going to devise a plan whereby he thought he would be able to kill the baby Jesus. So when he had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, these were the religious leaders of Jesus' day, and the scribes were the ones who wrote copies of the Word of God. He demanded of them where Christ, that is, where the Messiah, should be born. Where would he be born? And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou Bethlehem in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. This was the prophecy of Micah the prophet. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Micah chapter 5, it says in verse 2, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee, out of Bethlehem, shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." And so the prophecy of Micah says the coming of Jesus Christ, he would be the ruler of Israel, and he would be from everlasting. That's a reference to his deity, to the truth and the fact that he is God himself, that he is from everlasting and to everlasting. That is, he is eternal. The child was born, but the son was given, Isaiah says in chapter 9 and verse 6 of his prophecy. And so he says, "Herod, when he had privately or privily called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared to them." If you drop down to verse 16, you find evidently that it had been 2 years prior, because he later on commanded the babies to be killed from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he diligently inquired of the wise men. And so he told a profound lie here. He was very devious and deceptive when he said, "Go," and he told the wise men to go to search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. But we know he had no intentions of worshiping the Christ child. He wanted to kill him. And so when they had heard the words of King Herod, they departed, and we read this earlier. And again the star one more time appeared to them and guided them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, where they found Mary and Joseph and the babe, the young child now. He was no longer a newborn. He's in a house, a temporary dwelling. And they came in, they opened their treasure. What did they do first? First, they fell down and they worshiped. Now, when we come into the presence of our Lord, that's the first thing we should do. Fall down and worship Him. We may not physically fall down, but our hearts need to bow down in reverence and worship to Him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, gold was for a king, and frankincense signified his deity. Why? Because incense was offered to God when Israel would pray to the Lord. The priests that went into the temple, when they prayed, they would offer incense before the altar of incense in the holy place in the temple, and that odor arising toward heaven would ascend with the prayers of God's people. And they were praying to the Lord, you see. So the incense signifies His deity, that He is God, because God alone is to be worshipped. God alone is the one to whom we pray. So I really believe the wise men that God had revealed to them that this Jesus was not just going to be an earthly king, but rather he would be the one who would be a spiritual king who would save his people from their sins. And then, now frankincense comes from the gum of a tree. But that third gift, myrrh, that third gift is a gum that comes from a thorn bush. A thorn bush, and it was used as a burial spice. And the thorn bush may very well have been the same kind of thorns they used when they platted that crown of thorns and placed it on Jesus' head at his crucifixion. So the myrrh signifies the sacrifice that Jesus was to make for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Gold for a king, frankincense signifying that he's God manifested in the flesh, myrrh signifying the truth that he was born to die. He was born to die. He didn't come to stay on the earth. He came with the intentional purpose of going to the cross to die for your sins and mine. But we find that the wise men, they were warned of God in a dream that they shouldn't return to King Herod, but they departed to their own country another way. And then we find, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. But you know what? The Christmas story covers really the entirety of the Bible. It covers all the way from the first promise that God made of the coming of Jesus in Genesis chapter 3, all the way to the last promise of the Bible in the book of Revelation that promises that he will one day come again. But we find that because King Herod saw that he had been mocked by the wise men, that they didn't return to him, he determined to kill the babies from 2 years old and under, believing that he would surely get this Jesus as well. But God appeared to Joseph in a dream one more time and told him not to return to Nazareth at that point, but rather to go down into the land of Egypt. In verse 13, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So he arose and he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt." Probably the same night that the wise men also departed, and was there till the death of Herod. And this also was prophesied in the Old Testament, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken to the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." And that was from the book of Hosea, chapter 11. Hosea, chapter 11. Now, when you think about Jesus there, coming out of Egypt to go back to Nazareth a little later on, it reminds us of Moses in the Old Testament. Moses was the one God raised to be the deliverer of his people when they were in Egyptian bondage. His name meant one drawn out. So just like Moses led and drew out God's people from a land of captivity in Egyptian bondage, so likewise, Jesus, he would draw out his people from the world of darkness and sin. Draw us out of the land, of the natural world we live in, a world of sin and death, and bring us to Himself, draw us out, and give us new life in Him. So there's great spiritual truths there. And it was in Hosea chapter 11. And so Herod, seeing he was mocked, he decreed that all the young babies from 2 years old and under should be killed. And when that began to take place, this also was a fulfillment of another prophecy of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15, where it says, "In Ramah there was a voice of heard lamentation, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not." Rachel was the mother of Joseph and Benjamin of the Old Testament. And her tomb is just outside Bethlehem. Genesis 35, you'll find it. So it's a reference to Bethlehem. And we find that those mothers were bereaved of their children. But when Herod was dead, again, an angel of the Lord appeared again one more time to Joseph in the land of Egypt, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother to the land of Israel, for they are dead that sought the young child's life." It's believed that the gold that the wise men gave them financed their journey into Egypt and sustained them financially while they dwell there. God makes provision for our every need. And so it was, in verse 23, that he came and he dwelled in Nazareth. Well, that was the city of Mary and Joseph, Nazareth. And this, is again, was a prophecy of the Old Testament, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken of the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Isaiah chapter 11, among others, spoke of that. That he would come from Nazareth. But don't you remember what the people of Israel questioned about the disciples of Jesus when he began his earthly ministry? They questioned, they said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth obviously had a bad reputation. But yes, Jesus came out of Nazareth. Now, wise men still seek him today. I want us, in closing, to look at this application. Let's look in the epistle of James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. "Only one born of the Spirit has the wisdom of Christ in us." Now, just because we're born again don't necessarily mean that we're following His wisdom. Too often, we follow the wisdom of the world. But we have to yield ourselves to the leadership of the Holy Spirit to follow God's wisdom. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 3:13. "Who is a wise man and endowed with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." The word there, conversation, means our behavior, how we live our lives. If we are to be a wise man, just like those wise men were, endowed with knowledge, yes, they had great knowledge, but knowledge is not enough. It must be tempered with godly wisdom. And godly wisdom is shown by applying the Word of God that we might live a good behavior, a good life. Out of a good conversation, His works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Because that kind of wisdom descends not from above, but rather is earthly, sensual, or natural. As a matter of fact, it's devilish, coming from the devil himself. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Even when Jesus was born, there was that kingdom of darkness at work in the heart of King Herod, you see. But the wisdom that is from above, James 3:17, is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now Jesus came to make peace between us and God. But as a child of God today, we need to bear the fruit of righteousness, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we are to sow peace of those who make peace. We are to be peacemakers. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see the kingdom of God." And then finally, as we close, let's remember the application of the parable that Jesus taught His disciples in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus gave us a parable of a foolish man who built his house upon the sand, but then of a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And it says in Matthew 7, beginning in verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them," that is a wise man, "hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Jesus is our rock. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, because it was founded upon a rock." But then he says, "But every man that hears my sayings and does not do them, he's likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the flood came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And so we find, if we're to be wise and seek Him, we are not only to hear His words, but also to obey and do what His Word teaches us to do. Because when we do that with meekness, we are going to be wise, just like those wise men were that sought the young child so long ago. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.